Amen. I'm going to move very, very quickly because of time. And I want us to go into the Word of God in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. And as you go there, I also happened to go to the retreat that was mentioned here. And I learned also. All right, I was giving you time to be able to get there. But I was there, and I was really blessed. It was a wonderful, wonderful conference. What a beautiful, beautiful time that we had with the people who were there. This is Genesis chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 1. And this is what the Bible says. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maid, maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed and to what Sarai said. So after Abram, can't even see here. After Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with her, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your servant is in your hands," Abram said. "Do you do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated her, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I am running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with a child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery." Verse 12, "He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. Verse 15. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Praise the name of Jesus. That's quite a story. It is an interesting story, and I know all of us know about Hagar and her relationship with her mistress, Sarai. I don't want us to dwell too much about the whole story because this story is well known to each one of us. I want us to speak a little bit about a God that sees, and not just sees, but a God that sees me. Praise the name of Jesus. God is a God that sees our situations no matter where we are. Now, this story is an interesting one because Hagar is a representation of someone that is misused, that is mistreated, that is abused, that is completely, completely confused of her situation. Because the Bible tells us that when she was a mistress of Hagar, she was the servant of Sarai, God made it happen so that she became the wife, a co-wife of her mistress. Now, that is a very confusing situation. When you think about it, all of a sudden, you are a servant. Remember those maids back home? And thank God, we didn't have one because we couldn't afford one. But I could see the way they were being mistreated in the home. And there are times when they also, after being mistreated so, they became co-wives with the people who are mistreating them. You know that? It happened so many times. And this is the same situation that was happening with Hagar. She is a servant, a maid servant. And I think she was one of the best. And probably she was, I hope, she was beautiful. I remember one preacher telling us not too long ago, and I can't remember whether they were really looking for a servant, a house girl. And she went looking for the most ugly house girl in the community. So that when she comes to the house, she does not compete with her for her husband. And I don't know how she looked, but I do believe she was probably one of the best of her servants. Because she was not getting, she was not trying to get someone just to satisfy the need of her husband. She was looking for a seed that she believed she was lacking. And if you're looking for a seed, you get the best, the choicest. And so she took one of her best servants and gave her to her husband. Now you see, when I think about this, and I look at Hagar and I see how used she was. She was used by Sarai for one reason, so that she can cover her shame. She was used by Abraham at that time. His name was Abram. She was used by Abram so that he can satisfy his own pleasure. Used by people. She was used by people who are supposedly people of God. And it's so unfortunate that it happens so many times, even in the churches, that the people of God are being misused in the church by people who are supposedly men and women of God. People who are supposed to know better, to protect and to care and to cover and to shield and to nourish and to feed and to lift up and to give value. Instead, they devalue them and they mistreat them. It is an unfortunate state of affairs. Praise the name of Jesus. Hagar found herself in a very untenable situation. Number one, because when this conference was going on between Sarai and Abraham, she was not involved. She had no choice in the matter. She just found herself thrust into it. Like many of us, sometimes we find ourselves in a situation that you did not make a choice to be in. Praise the name of Jesus. And immediately she became a co-wife. And when that happened, things started going south for her. She wished that she never, ever, ever acquiesced to this request. She wished that she would never, ever allowed Abraham to touch her. But then she did not have much choice because she was a servant. She probably did not even know that there was a culture like that because she was an Egyptian. And these were people from Haran and Ur and wherever else that they came from. They were not even Canaanites, but they were in the land of Canaan. She may have been confused completely because of all the kind of cultures that were surrounding them. But this particular one, where a servant is made a co-wife in order to bear an offspring for her mistress, that was confusing. Praise the name of Jesus. And we see this happening. It happened afterwards because you alluded about Leah and Rachel. And Rachel and Leah, they did the same exact thing. Oh, Rachel did not find, she could not bear children. So she did what? Give the servant to Jacob. And then Leah saw that, oh yeah, I can do that also. She did the same. So half of Jacob's sons, they were from maidservants, not from his wives. So it was a very common kind of a culture. So Abraham, they misused her. And it's unfortunate that when these things was happening, Hagar found herself on a very, very shaky ground. Very, very shaky situation. Because when she got pregnant, she started now feeling like, I belong. And it's unfortunate because sometimes when you are put in a place where you did not qualify, many a times we become haughty. When a poor man becomes rich, he forgets he was poor. And even actually the book of Solomon's, I think it's the book of a song of, no, it's Ecclesiastes. It says that, there is no such an obnoxious man as a servant who has become the king. When you become the king, oh my goodness, things really become topsy-turvy. You become haughty. You become arrogant. You start now, showing everyone else, look at me now. And that is exactly what happened with this young lady. She became haughty. But that's not my focus. My focus is what happened thereafter. Praise the name of Jesus. Sarai became jealous. She became anguished by her behavior. She even started looking at these pregnancies as if it was a curse, not a blessing. And she thought that this surrogate child that she's holding for me is not worth it. And she went to Abraham and said that, now you, sometimes we men, and I meant we men, not women, it so happens sometimes we really get ourselves thrust into situations like that. We talked many times with my wife and talked about, sometimes, that's something, I get mad, then she gets mad that I got mad, and now I have to go to buy flowers to come and apologize because she got mad because I got mad for something that she started. See what I'm saying? And it happens that many times. Now you, Abraham, you are the one who caused all this? Because I gave this woman into your arms, and now she despises me. Thank God she said, I gave. You didn't pick, I gave. So she did not blame herself. Again, that is not the focus, it's not the story. And after she did that, she started mistreating her. After Abraham's approval of her behavior, saying that go ahead and do whatever you want. She is your servant. He could not stand and say that now since she has been, now she is a carrier of a seed. Now that she has been in the same situation that you are or you have been. And now as a result of that, now she has something growing within of herself, I got to make her more important. Not more important than Sarai, but more important than every other servant. He did not have the courage. He did not stood for her. And then mistreatment continued. That is another level. And because of that level, Hagar had to run away. And when she fled, the Bible says that she left and went to a brook. Now you think about this. A young lady who has no protection at all. No one with her. She probably has no food. She has no water. She has nothing on her back. She just runs off and goes into the wilderness. And there, while she is running away, she lies down near a brook somewhere. Can you imagine what could have happened to someone like that? Pregnant, no protection, no care, nobody. And let me tell you, friends, we sometimes find ourselves in situations like that. Circumstances force us to be separated from our loved ones, to be separated from our community, to be separated from our churches, to be separated from our families, and find ourselves running off all by ourselves. Nothing on our backs, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. And you are thrust right there. You have no hope. It is a sad thing. And this is a situation that Hagar finds herself. And when she was there, separated from her support system, nobody knew what could have happened. The Bible says that she was at a spring right by the beside a road to shore. This is a major thoroughfare. It is a place where merchants were passing through day and night. It was 6. It was not 695. This was 95 interstate. And merchants were coming from Mesopotamia to Egypt. And they would buy whatever they find on the road. That there you would find bandits. There you would find all sorts of people, pirates. And anything could have happened to her. She could have lost her child even just because of walking up and down in the desert all by herself. But there she was. Praise the name of Jesus. You find yourself many times in situations like that probably. And you probably are wondering, what do I do? Where am I going to go? What's going to happen to me? I have nothing left of me, just like Hagar. Probably the only thing that you have is your breath and maybe a little money. And you're here in the United States of America, in the land of the opportunity, yet surrounded by so many misery and so many fear, so much fear, and there is no hope for you. You are running away from your family. You're running away from your friends. You're running away from your church. You're running away from everything that could have helped you. And there she was. Verse 7, the Bible says, hallelujah. Buana sife sana. Let me tell you something. When you are running away and things are not going well, when you are afraid and you know for sure that things are really going south, when you know for sure that you have no help, nothing is coming your way, God has not forgotten you. Praise the name of Jesus. We do not know anywhere where Hagar prayed. I don't remember seeing that there. But somehow God never forgot her. Praise the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord found Hagar. One as if he were. You may be forgotten. One thing I know for sure. Abram did not put together a search party for her. I don't expect that Sarai really took a donkey, tried to follow her and find out what could have happened to my baby that I'm expecting through her. She probably was just sitting at home and feeling good and feeling happy. Good riddance. And Hagar was all alone. And when nobody was thinking about her, when nobody was looking for her, when nobody was expecting anything to come out of her, God showed up. Praise the name of Jesus. God showed up. And when the angel of the Lord came, whoa, isn't it nice sometimes to be found when you are lost? How many people have ever been lost? Yeah. Sometimes we are being told, don't worry, kupotea ndio, njuajia. Yeah, that's the only way to know the way. And I experienced when I came into this country, we were going to visit someone in Philadelphia. And we were lost for 5 hours in Philadelphia. I say, what? What kind of city is this? We were trying to get into 76. We got into 76 West. But now we wanted to be in 76 East because that's where we were supposed to go. And you know what time it is now? It is 11 p.m. We could not find the exit. I mean, the entrance to 76 East. We can see it over there. It's a... But we couldn't get there. Guess what? We were lost for 4 hours. 4 hours in Philadelphia, and you say never again. We will never be to Philadelphia again. Ukipotea, when you are lost, you feel like you will never be found. You are frustrated. But when someone finds you, we would go to a gas station. They give us a map. Oh, I just came from Kenya. How do I read a map? There were no GPS then. There was no, actually, MapQuest was not there then. Can you imagine? It's been that long. That long. There was no MapQuest. So if you wanted to go somewhere, someone would tell you, ukifika pahali, you take a left. That road, we used to know the roads then. Let me tell you. I don't know. You try now to direct someone. Oh, yeah, take 695, take that 1A, when you get to, I can't even remember this road, Gibbons. That time they used to come out like this. Because there was nothing to remind us. And you know in Kenya, because there are not those kind of things, you have to commit every road to memory. You go back and start driving. I went there and I can see everything looks about the same. Everything is okay. Even in our village, I can tell where this road used to go to. But I can't imagine, remember where it ended up. And until I get there, I say, oh, this is where it used to go. You get lost. You get frustrated. And she was there. And the angel of the Lord found her. Praise the name of Jesus. When the angel of the Lord found her, it told her one thing, that someone somewhere was thinking about me. And this is reminiscent of what Jesus did. Now we are going to remember his death on the cross and salvation of and our salvation. And Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. Praise the name of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. I will not turn in. I will not close down until every single of my sheep has been brought home safely. So when you are alone and you are afraid, when things are not going well for you, know that there is a God in heaven that is looking from above and looking down. Praise the name of Jesus. And the good thing about this is that when in verse 8, you look at verse 8, he does not just come to her and say, hey, woman, hey, you lady. No. What does he do? He addresses her by her name and her title. Praise the name of Jesus. This is a God that knows you in and out. He knows you very well. He addresses her by name so that she may know this. I don't only know you. I also know about you. I know your circumstance. I did not Google you and found your name and your situation in a Wikipedia. And now I am coming looking for you because I have heard. God knew what was going on with her. That's why he said to her, Hagar, servant of Sarai. Why was servant of Sarai important? So that she may know that I know what you're going through. I know why you are running away. I know the circumstances that you're dealing with. You may be forgotten and you have been rejected and you have been denied and you have been abandoned. Let me tell you right now, right here, that God is not forgetting you. He remembers you. He knows you right where you are. Circumstances will not thwart God's power to change your life and to cause you to become what he wants you to be. If you are running away because things are bad, now it's time for you to stop. Praise the name of Jesus. God knows. God remembers you. God thinks well about you. Praise the name of Jesus. And then it was not enough. When he calls her by name, and he calls her by her title. The angel continues and says, where have you come from? And where are you going? Now you see, it is a very, very important question, this one. And when God is asking a question, he's not looking for information, by the way. Because he already knows. Praise the name of Jesus. What was he trying to establish here? What he's trying to do is to tell you that I care about your situation behind you and the situation ahead of you. Where are you coming from? And where are you going? What is happening? What has happened to you now in the past? What is happening to you right now? And what is going on in the future? God is thinking about you both ways, behind you and ahead of you. Praise Jesus. And he asked her this question. And Sarah and Hagar answers one. And she says, I am running away from my mistress Sarai. She did not answer the second one. Because when you are running away, sometimes you don't even know where you are going. When you are running away, you did not even have a thought as to your destination going from here. And the question that he was asking her, you know where you are coming from. But I want you now to sit down and think for a moment, because you do not know where you are going. And when you are not do not know where you are going, then you are indeed lost. Then you are indeed completely out of options. You have nothing left of you. And God is saying to you, you may know where you're going, but you don't know where you may know where you're coming from, but you don't know where you're going. And since you do not know where you're going, this now is my instructions. Praise the name of Jesus. God instructs you from there going forward. You could create excuses. You could say, I could go back to Egypt. My family is still there. I could go back to Kenya. I came to America, on my own volition. I can go back in a time. Let me tell you, when you're running away, every option that you see looks promising. And the enemy's plan is to separate you from who you know and the people who can help you and the church that can take care of you so that you can become an easy prey for him. He wants to use that opportunity when you are alone. Just like the way, a lion or a leopard or whatever is chasing after a deer or even a buffalo. They separate one and they know for sure that this one cannot survive. It does not matter how far you can go. It does not matter how fast you can run. At a certain point, you're going to drop, and you're going to and he will catch you. That is what the enemy does with us. He wants to play that game with us. He wants to, to create that kind of, a psychology battle within you. To tell you that, that fellowship that you go to, wachana na hiyo. That church, that pastor, you hear the way he speaks, or the way he does things, or the way the kind of messages she brings. Did you hear what they did? Those kind of things. The enemy knows how to switch certain buttons in you. And they will switch your rail. You are on the right track. Then, just like the way the technician in a railway station, when they switch the rails, then the train goes a different direction. And the enemy is waiting at a certain junction. And he's waiting at the opportune moment. So that when you come rumbling down, he switches. And the rail turns to a different direction. And while you are now headed, the problem with it, with the trains. We used to take a train to go to Nakuru. That was from Nairobi to Nakuru. It was a whole night affair. A whole night. I try to even think, imagine that. A distance of about an hour and a half to 2 hours. You take a train for a whole night. And there you find all sorts of people, Let me tell you, you wouldn't even find, they call them lavatories, okay? You can't find the bathroom because people are sleeping there. It's so full. People are sleeping there in the bathroom. So if you really are pressed, you have to stagger, to straddle over people. That's the way it happens. And there are all sorts of things. There's chicken in there. Someone brought a pig. There are all sorts of things. And then there are people there selling you samosa. And all that kind of thing. People take advantage of, situations like those, right? In Kenya there are floods right now, right? Wow, people know how to make money. We think that America, you know how to make money. In Kenya, they know. As soon as we find a little puddle here, and this is where everyone is crossing, do you know they brought carts? These carts, like the one that these guys use to hold this equipment. They put one there, another one there, another. Kumi. They were making money. I couldn't believe it. They make money that way. Praise the name of Jesus. We find the enemy trying to do all sorts of things to separate us. Let me encourage you, brethren. If you are lost, listen to what the instructions of the Lord are. Praise the name of Jesus. Let me look at this very quickly, and then I'm going to finish. This is where I like this. The Lord found her, and when he asked her these questions, and she answered only one question. He did not probe her father than that. He did not keep, wanting to know much more, because he already knew what was going on with her. The Lord spoke to Hagar, and told her, go back to your mistress and do what? And submit to her. Ah, you hear that and you think that this may not be the angel from the Lord. This is not the spirit of the Lord. How can he send me back? Did you see Sarai? Did you see how she treated me? Do you know who she is? And that husband of hers, who is so meek and so cowed before her, he could not defend or protect me. You want me to go back there? You have no idea. You think that sometimes God have no idea of what you're going through. And you will tell him, I have had it with all this. I just want to go elsewhere. I can't go back. But the angel of the Lord knew one thing. The trouble with this woman was not because of the mistreatment. The trouble with this woman was lack of submission. Period. Because if she had submitted, then things would have been different. And now he speaks to her and tells her, go back to your mistress and go and submit to her. And when get the right note here. And when she heard this, he knew very sure that she is going to be confused by this. And she's going to be afraid to go back. But he told her that when you will submit, when you go back and submit, when you go back and do what I tell you, when you obey, I will, praise the name of Jesus. The next thing, let's go to the next verse. The Bible says, verse 11, there it is, number 10. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly. Praise the name of Jesus. That it shall not be numbered for multitude. When you submit, let me tell you the problem with today. People run away from problems. Your solution is not in running away. You run away from a church because of one or two things. Then you go to a different church and you find that the same church, that church has, is almost like they read from the same script. The problems are the same. You move from that one and go to another one. Same problems. And someone said that there is a guy, I don't know, Pogo is a character that said that we have found the problem. Or we have found the enemy. And it is we. Find the problem and you have the solution. The problem is not the church, it is you. You are the problem. And you need to now say that I have found the enemy and it is me. I need to resolve with me. I need to change with me. I need to correct me. Praise the name of Jesus. How come I'm the only one? Everywhere I go, people reject me. How come I'm the only one? Wherever I go, people do, they think that I am too obnoxious. Yes, you are. You need to change. You need to change. Go back and submit. Submit to God and you see a change. Praise the name of Jesus. If you think there's a problem with the church, someone says that if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, because you will spoil it. Because none of us are what? Are perfect. And so if you find a problem and the only thing that you do is run away. When a husband collides with his wife and a wife with a husband, they do what? They separate. This country has made things very easy for us to replace things. You know, in Kenya, you don't replace things. You repair them. Our car had a little accident the other day. And I was looking at it and I was saying, you know, this one, I'll just drive it home. But he couldn't drive home. So what happened? They came and told it. And then the next day they told us it is totaled. I said, what? Totaled? I wish I was in Kenya. I would just take it to Grogoni. Yeah, Juakali right there. And they would just do like this. And then the car is back on the road. In America, if you have even a single button missing on your shirt, go to Bosco and Walmart and get another one. That's the way we do things here. Replace is very easy. It's very easy. And that's the reason why we do not take time to repair things. We don't take time to repair relationships. We don't take time to work out issues with one another. We don't take time to do the right thing. Because it takes time. It is hard. In America, every time you buy a toy or you buy even a child thing, it takes time to put it together. Yes. And I used to tell people that if you are struggling with it, then you're doing it wrong. They make things very easy. But once it doesn't fit, you don't even try to think, maybe I can dig a hole right there and then fit it in. You call and say that, you send me the wrong part. Okay, in 5 to 7 days, you will receive it. You get it. You wait with your stuff right there. And then it comes and then it happened with me with a table. A dining table. And then there's a chair that doesn't fit properly. One leg doesn't fit. And I call them and I say that, this leg doesn't fit. Okay, what number is it? They are lettered. They say H, I, J. I say, it's H. Oh, okay, they say, it looks like this. Yes, they send me the same one that they had sent me. And I said, guys, you didn't get it right. I told them to send it again. They sent the same very one. I said, I have a chair that nobody can sit on it. Now, my wife was asking me, okay, now what are you going to do with this? I said, you know what? I am going to be a Kenyan. I'll sit down and I'll bore that hole in there and it will fit. And I know it's going to work. One has a few. So I want to encourage you, my friends. Take time to fix things. Take a moment. Amen. No, let me chastise men for a moment. You have a home, you have a wife and children. Or even you have your own apartment and you live alone. Don't call people to come and paint your house. Paint it yourself. You hear that sister say, amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, do it, man. Paint it. Do some stuff in the house. Let your wife feel like, you know, they have a handyman that can do things. Do a few things that probably will make you be separated from the rest of the men in the community. It is important, let me tell you. Because when you start learning how to do these things, instead of calling a fundi out there to come and fix things for you, you will be working on your relationship like nobody's business. It will feel like this is natural for me. Whatever problems come, I will deal with it. My wife, you know, feels that I am lazy and I fix that as well. Not by fixing her, fixing myself. Let me finish so that my time, because my time is up. This is what the Bible is saying, and I'm going to read here quickly so that I can finish. It says that go back and submit to her. And when you submit to her, everything will fall into place. And we see actually her. It happened that we praise the name of Jesus. She went back. But before she went back, the Bible says that the angel, the angel said, I will increase your descendants, that they will be too numerous to count. the angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now with a child. Oh, you even know that? Yeah. And you will have a son. He must have seen my sonogram. No. He knows what is happening to you, remember? This is God. Praise the name of Jesus. And this is what he says. He says that you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael because, why? The Lord has heard your afflictions. God already, we do not know whether she ever prayed, but somehow God heard her silent cries. When you're going through whatever you're going through, God hears those silent cries. You may not pray, but even though you may not pray, let me tell you that God already knows. Praise the name of Jesus. And he says that you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. And then he says, he will be a wild donkey. I'm not going to read all that. I just want to mention this to say, that means your son is not going to be a slave like yourself. Praise the name of Jesus. Nobody will ever be able to put a yoke on his neck. This is going to be a wild donkey. Hallelujah. So this is a difference from a servant, praise the name of Jesus, to a what? To a free man who is a man who is a father of many nations. He is not going to be a servant of the son of Abraham. He is not going to be, he may be born in servitude, but he will be a wild donkey. Praise the name of Jesus. And you refuse, for you as a man, you as a woman, the oppression of the past, the issues that have plagued you over the years, the difficulties and the poverty that you have to deal with, and the rejection and all sorts, all manner of trouble that have followed your family, you gotta stand and say that I take a stand right now. It ends right here. I will never be oppressed again. I will never allow any man to put a yoke over my son or my daughter or anything that belongs to me. It ends here. You gotta take a stand. Praise the name of Jesus. Continue on and says, she gave this name to the Lord. This is a God that sees me. The God that sees me. The God that sees in secret. When you're struggling through whatever you're going through, your God sees you. When you are being rejected and dejected and people mistreating you and abusing you and insulting you and doing all sorts of things with you, they use you as a tool. God says that he sees you. He knows it. He does not only hear your cries, he sees your affliction. And he has come so that he can bring you back to the place of promise. Hagar left that place with two things, a promise and a purpose. God is going to move you from your destitute situation and bring you to a place where his purpose is going to sustain you. The promise is he will increase you. And I want each one of us to try tonight to think about the issues that you have to struggle with and the issues that you're fighting with. And let me tell you that God has given you everything that you need in order for you to succeed and become what he wants you to be. He created a testimony for her. And she really did go and speak this testimony to none other than the family that was mistreating her. How do I know that? How do I know that she went and told Abraham, or Abram, I have an encounter with God. And this son that he said is a son. And this son's name is Ishmael. The last verse there says, I think it is verse, there, 15. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, Hagar bore Ishmael. How did he know? Hagar gave the testimony. She said that I'm a different person. I had an encounter with God. And when you have an encounter with God, God changes your story. God changes your circumstances. The way people view you, they view you differently. When you sent me out there, it was a hard trial for me. But that was important because during those trials, I had an encounter with God. Sometimes trials are necessary. They take you away from your comfort zone so that you have an encounter with God. And when you have an encounter with God, then you walk out of that place with a promise and a purpose. And you will say, I came face to face with a God that sees me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus.